Welcome to our program. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us here on the program. I can't, I won't, and you can't make me. Is that the name of your book or movie? Is that the way you're living your life these days? Just in resistance? Well, today we're going to be talking with the author of I Can, I Will. He's a local author. His name is Frederick Elias, and we're going to be talking about the dynamics for personal success. Aren't we all looking for personal success? Stay tuned as we walk and talk with Frederick Elias. And that's what this program is about, to have our guests tell their stories and give you choices and give you knowledge on how to use those choices to achieve the things that you want in your life. And I want to welcome our guest today for the next hour, Dr. Frederick Elias. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Richard.
It's good to have you here, and you are a local Santa Barbara author.
It's great to be here in this beautiful city of Santa Barbara.
You know, I look out from where I work a number of days during the week from TV Hill and see the ocean on a regular basis, and I just marvel at the fact that I'm here, and I'm excited about the fact that not only am I here in Santa Barbara, but here with you this morning, talking about the concept, if you will, and more than that, the concept of I can, I will. A very strong affirmation. Let's start with that concept and where that came from for you.
Well, the concept basically came from a background and a history of people saying to me all through my life that I wasn't going to be able to make it. I wasn't going to be able to accomplish my goals, accomplish my dreams. And I just got tired of listening to people say no, and I started saying yes, I can and I will. And that started the day I walked out of the high school that I went to in Boston, Massachusetts. And ever since then, people have come into my life, and some people have been positive, some people have been very reactive and negative, and it's getting over that negativity. It's, you know, getting into the proactive mode and making positive choices in your life that really is going to signal your success.
That mentality seems to be pervading our society more and more. This, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, oh, you'll never amount to squat, and it's on and on and on. In your research over the years and in your counseling people and working with them through the workshops and seminars that you hold, where does that come from? Is it our self-esteem? But again, if we've got that low self-esteem, mm-hmm. we got that from somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it's part of it is low self-esteem or low self-confidence. But really, there's two indicators that you got to pay particular attention to. One is optimism versus pessimism, mm-hmm. and the other one is internal locus of control versus external locus of control. And what I mean by that is, do you feel that you're the master of your own destiny? Or do you feel like destiny and the environment dictates what you have to do in your life? If you think that everything controls you, then you're more external. If you're more internal, you'll say, I can control it. You know, if it's a bad day, well, I'll just get better one. I'll pick a better day. Mm-hmm. It's that type of attitude. And the second is optimism versus pessimism. If you're pessimistic, you're always looking at the glass half empty. And I think optimists have that ability to recharge and refuel themselves over and over by saying, hey, listen, the glass is half full. I'm going to make it overflowing. What can I do to get out of my daily doldrums or my routine? How can I get out of the rut? And mm-hmm. optimists, and choosing to be optimistic, I think, is a far better choice than choosing to be pessimistic.
I realize my next question is more along the lines of which came first, the chicken or the egg. But how does one acquire that optimism versus the pessimism that sends them into that direction you're talking about?
You know, it's interesting, but I think we acquire pessimism and optimism early on as a child. And it may be some of the messages that have been given to us from our parents, maybe some of the messages from teachers. I know that going through school, we're with teachers for 8 or 9 hours a day. Oh, yeah. What kind of negative messages, you know, mm-hmm. do teachers sometimes give to students?
Yeah.
Give to us. And it's overcoming those negative messages. It's really reprogramming and trying to figure out what happened to you and what can you do to change that. And I think that's a key element of, you know, developing self-awareness. And that's part of the emotional intelligence model that Goleman talks so much about, is developing self-awareness and self-regulation and self-motivation. And that's part of paying attention to the inner self-talk. And part of the inner self-talk, or the negative self-talk that we experience, may have been messages early on in life that we're not always aware of. And that's why it's really great if you have the opportunity to either develop a support group or see a counselor or a therapist or a coach, someone that could help you process through some of this information.
Years ago, sounds strange even for me to say, I went through some personal growth programs, and I remember sitting in one of these programs and listening to what was being said, having done many interviews, even such as this, and wondering, when are these people going to get it? And then I had to stop and say, well, wait a minute, but I'm here too. And it's like, well, when am I going to get it? And that also seems to be sort of a hurdle. It's like we never seem to quite get over the hump to where, okay, now I'm successful and I've got the wonderful home that I want and the car and the money and the spouse and so forth and so on. And I had a conversation with my brother once about an issue, and he turned to me and he says, well, Richard, it's about time you got it. And I remember hearing someone say to me, it's not when you get it, but that you get it. So there really isn't a time frame on getting over that hurdle. It's continually working to get over that. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair assessment?
I think you're always in process. I think you're okay. Always, you know, look at overcoming barriers and overcoming resistances to change and to growth is a lifelong process. And I don't think it's all of a sudden you become enlightened, mm-hmm. and then you don't have to do anything else. You know, let's sit under a tree for the rest of your life. It's in the moments of our decision that affects our destiny. And that's why it's constantly looking at what choices that we make. Is it a proactive choice or is it a reactive choice? And this is a continual thing. We do this all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the other approach that I think we need to pay particular attention to is, am I doing things a little bit at a time and understanding what I'm doing, mm-hmm. to change my patterns of behavior, to change the patterns of thinking that may have kept me in this, when is enough enough, for example? Like you were saying, well, I have the house, I have the beautiful wife, I have all of these entrapments, you know, of the illusory world. Mm-hmm. That's great if you're happy with that. But if you're not happy, you have to look deeper. You have to do some, you know, introspection, some reflection on what are possibility of the inner things that are going on, the inner fears, the inner fear of the unknown, the inner fear or the messages that say I can't be successful, or the barriers that have prevented me from being successful. Mm-hmm. When are you going to pay attention to some of those self-sabotaging ideas or thoughts that may be keeping you back and you're not aware of? And that's why self-awareness is a very important stage of gaining emotional intelligence and understanding for human beings.
There are those cynics and critics who would argue that, you know, you are the way you are and you can't really improve, and, you know, just accept your lot in life. You know, this is all a bunch of mumbo jumbo and it really doesn't work, and so on and so forth. And I put the question to you, are you at least at a place where you like to be, want to be, are happy in terms of using the concepts, not of course just from the book I Can, I Will, mm-hmm. but just from your experiences up to this point? Are you where you would like to see other people happy?
Well, I'd love to see other people happy, but listen, what do you say to yourself? Okay? Are you saying how awful everything is or how terrible things are? Are you making complaints or are you making excuses in your life? You know, Helen Keller once said, when I'm seeing the sun, I don't see the shadows. So when you look at the sun, you don't see the negative parts of things. Mm-hmm. Don't make today's problem into a lifelong straitjacket. Things will change, and things will get better when we learn new things. So it's constantly the process of learning that I think is important for individuals and for people to, you know, to wrap their brains around, to wrap their minds around, that we're a constant learning type of person. We right. are constantly learning and developing new strategies for success, new strategies for self-awareness and for self-motivation. And it's, you know, looking, I was once talking to the Dalai Lama, actually, And he said to me, you know, whatever you do, a little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. And give of yourself altruistically. Give of yourself unconditionally. And I know in this world where everybody's, you know, looking for the quantum leaps, looking for the big changes, the massive changes mm-hmm. in their life. Sure, that's wonderful if those types of things happen. But what about the small goals? What about doing things in a small way sometimes and appreciating and recognizing those moments? Because once again, it's in those moments when we make our decisions and our choices, that's when we learn how to change, and we can change that pattern of behavior that maybe has kept us in the rut or maybe kept us in a fog so we can't see things clearly.
If you've just joined us, my guest is Dr. Frederick Elias. He's the author of I Can, I Will, Dynamics for Personal Success. And in the book, you will be able to determine your destination. You can overcome barriers to success, and you can increase your self-confidence and learn how to successfully manage your emotions. And you can find out more about this book, order it, and other materials, and get in touch with Dr. Frederick Elias. You can go to richarddugan.com. There's a link to Dr. Elias' website, and I'll give you that website as well. It is icaniwill.com. People can go there and get further information and basically begin the process of saying, I can, I will, which affirmations, the thought that came to me as you were quoting the Dalai Lama, platitudes would be the word used by the person who thinks the glass is half empty, the cynic, the critic, if you will. What's your perspective on phrases that we use, these catchphrases? I am the master of my mind. I can, I will. Whatever the phrase is that, as a mantra that we would repeat over and over again, are they really that effective?
I think if it works for you, it's effective.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, more and more, what's the alternative? What other phrases do we say to ourselves consciously or unconsciously that are not so effective?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you have a choice. You know, do you want to say something that's more proactive, or are you going to say something that's more detrimental to your health and be more reactive? I think this is a choice that we all can make. And if a phrase makes you feel good and it helps you focus on what you need to accomplish, what you need to achieve, and how to take action, then it's working for you. So I don't see anything wrong with that. No, I don't.
How long have you been involved? Obviously, you mentioned high school, and they were telling you, you can't, you won't amount to anything, and so forth. So obviously a number of years. But let's say more consciously educating yourself along this particular path. How long have you been doing that?
Through school, you mean? What types of schools?
Schooling as well. Well,
I graduated UC Santa Barbara and with my doctorate in education and organizational leadership. And I've also studied pastoral counseling. And I've done a couple of different jobs. Actually, I was a hairdresser for 27 years. So I met a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And different types of things like that. But, you know, a lot of the learning I learned from my students.
Okay.
I learned from my students, and I teach at Cal State Northridge, at Loyola Marymount, and at California Lutheran University. And it's amazing the types of things that students right now are going through. And what is of concern to me is that individuals that accept a life that doesn't have any quality in it, or an individual a person who accepts a life where abuse is okay.
Mm.
You know, living in a situation where somebody can emotionally or physically abuse you, and that doesn't really mean that much, and I guess it's okay. I could take it. I can stay in this relationship for as long as I want because I don't want to be lonely or I don't want to be alone. That really concerns me. And I think when I see people and they start reading some of the things that I've written or other people have written, and they start changing their lives and they say, you know, I can get out of this abusive situation. I don't have to let this person, you know, emotionally abuse me, or I don't have to be in a situation where I have a boss or a manager that ridicules me every day or puts me down constantly and makes me feel like crap at work. You don't have to accept that. You can make a decision. You can do one or two things. You can report it to a superior, or you can quit your job and get another job.
I find that very fascinating. In many jobs that I have worked over the years, people will come up to me and they'll say, oh man, this job is, and the management is this, and da da da, and just on and on complaining. And I've actually at times turned to them and said, well, then why don't you quit? You know, instead of staying in the mud hole, just get out of the mud hole, if that's your observation of where you are.
Yeah, but people don't see that they have freedom. People don't see that they have freedom. They focus on what's necessary and what's important for them to live day by day.
But they're told constantly that America is the land of the free and the home of the brave, that they are free moral agents, and the word free is used constantly to describe what our life is. How could a person not know that they're free to do this? What messages are they getting that are telling them they're not free?
Well, I mean, we don't have to get too much into it, but think about the news. I mean, you know, look at the news every day,
and yeah,
where you have situations where, you know, we feel that we don't have any control over different things that are going on in the world. I mean, if we could talk about world politics and leadership, we're looking at leaders that say one thing and do something else. I mean, who's really walking their walk and talking their talk nowadays? They all seem to be, and everyone's conforming to everything. Everyone's looking at that. Remember the story of the emperor with no clothes?
Yes.
Yeah, and so the emperor is walking down the street, and everybody's saying, oh, what a beautiful robe you have on, and yet he's naked. I mean, this is what's going on in the world. We're saying, oh, what a beautiful life we have. What a beautiful robe you're all wearing. But are you looking deeper at the person's self-image? Are you looking deeper into their soul? Mm-hmm. Are they in fear? Do they hurt? What kinds of pain are people shouldering or keeping inside of them that they're not talking about? My concern is what's not being spoken about, not what is being spoken right. about.
I have heard it said that it is also harder to maintain that negativity and that pessimism and that cynicism. It is harder to be unhappy than it is to be happy. That it is so easy to be happy, and yet we choose the hard way.
It takes essentially the same amount of energy to be unhappy as it does to be happy. I mean, if you think about it, we're using the same amount of energy.
Okay.
But we're not making the same choices.
Okay.
It's the same energy, but we're making different choices, and those choices lead to different decisions. And remember, choice fuels decision.
But how do we know what choices to make? I mean, black and white, okay, I'll either go black or white. You know, up or down, okay, up or down. But sometimes we are so inundated with 10 and 15 and 20 choices, rather than trying to sift through and find the best one, or get rid of half and then get rid of another half, we're so overwhelmed, we just won't make a choice.
Well, and that's one of the, I think, the downfalls of our
information age?
Our intellect, you know, our information age, that we're inundated by so much information that sometimes it becomes difficult to make a choice. I would say, you know, I think it's important to take some time and to slow down, because all of this type A behavior, personality style, running around with aggressive, you know, deadlines, mm-hmm. and we have to do it by such a time, and if I don't get that iPod in my ear, if I don't get the right kind of cell phone, I'm not going to be able to, you know, communicate with my friends. Yeah, well, what would happen with just using your mouth? So what we're looking at here is we need to make choices, rational choices, but we may need to prioritize some of those choices. We may need to boil it down to maybe three alternatives. And you know what? Sometimes you just have to make a choice. You have to take action and do something rather than do nothing sometimes. And it's important to say, well, listen, maybe it is trial and error. So I made a choice. It didn't work out. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do different the next time? What can I do to make it better? What can I do to improve my life? What can I do to improve my decision-making processes? And that's something that we need to start focus on more and more, rather than falling into this world of groupthink, you know, where everyone's conforming to everyone else's decisions. Nobody's, you know, really paying attention. They're just doing their own thing. And, you know, when does it come time to say when is enough enough? And we have to really start making really solid, good choices that have, you know, lifelong effects for us.
Could the analogy be made that people keep putting in the same video of a movie and watching it over and over again, expecting a different ending, and not understanding why they don't get a different ending each time?
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of you have done that? How many of you have put in the same video over and over, the same CD or DVD over and over, expecting something different to happen? Hey, that's already been scripted.
I've never done that before. Never.
Yeah, never. Right. Yeah. But remember, you make and you create your own life script.
Yeah.
You create your own life. And then some people will say to me, well, you know, it, something happened to me. I was in an accident and I, you know, I now I'm in a wheelchair. So I guess I didn't create my life. Well, your life was created, but now you have a choice on what you're going to do while you're in that wheelchair. And I know a lot of people that are in wheelchairs that are out there and they have optimistic attitudes and they're doing a lot of positive things and they're educating people and they're teaching people. And I see a lot of people. I see people who are physically and mentally challenged out there working mm-hmm. with people that are brain damaged working with people that don't have all their hearing or their vision and they're out working with people.
Yeah.
You know, enough of the excuses. What talents do you have? What do you have? What gifts do you have? I believe all of us have been put here with valuable gifts. What gifts do you bring to your loved ones? What gifts do you bring to the workplace? What do you like about yourself? And I have a belief, you know, you can't give more than you got. The yeah. more you got, the more you give, and the more you give, the more you get back. That's one of life's laws, but I'll tell you one thing. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah. I was putting together a list of items, and I had 17 or 18 different items on this list, and I was sharing this with someone, and they basically said, well, you know, that's great because it looks like you put a lot of thought into this, but the people that you're going to be presenting this list to really don't have the kind of time, and that's just overwhelming, 17 or 18 items. So we're going to hone it down into maybe 4 or 5 basic items and make it a little easier in that sense, because they'll still get to choose whatever they want, but at least here you've only presented them with just a few things, and then if they want to a la carte it, they can do that. What we'd like to do, if you're willing to do so, is take some phone calls here in just a little bit. We'll open up the phone lines here in about 5-10 minutes. The number, if you'd like to call, and when someone calls up, certainly they can ask you a question, but maybe I'm wondering if maybe we might want to pose a question to them. Where do you want to be, or what do you want to do? And then turning it around and say, okay, so what choices would you suggest they make? And again, these are only suggestions, because you're not sitting here telling people how to run their lives and what to do, but throwing some choices their way that, who knows, maybe they never thought of before.
Choices and goals.
Yeah.
You know, what kinds of goals do people have? What kind of goals do they want to have? And when do they want to accomplish them by?
Mm-hmm. Phone number is 879-547-8879-KIST. Again, 879-5478. We'll open up the phone lines in just a couple of moments. My guest is the author of I Can, I Will. He is local Santa Barbara author Frederick C. Elias. You can go to icaniwill.com and you can check out all of the materials that are available and the things, articles, and all the good things that will assist you. And again, the program is designed, our program, Tell Me Your Story, is designed to provide you with choices and the knowledge on how to use those choices and to make those choices. And just to start, as you've already said, Dr. Elias, with just basic stuff, just simple. It doesn't have to be elaborate. Just start. Just start. And then maybe that's the very first choice to make, is to start.
I think it is. And in anything, basically, starting a book, starting a CD. It was really interesting because when I was recording the CDs, I had to start somewhere. And mm-hmm. so you have to start by writing maybe a sentence, mm-hmm. writing two sentences, writing a paragraph. I know there's a lot of individuals that I've spoken to who'd love to write a book,
mm-hmm.
who'd love to record a CD. Well, what's preventing you?
Yeah.
You know, start working on it. Start scripting it. You know, script your, you know, how many people out here want to go on a vacation? Although we live in one of the most beautiful vacation spots in the world, you know, just walk down the street and you're on a vacation here. But how much do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do to leave, you know, what's your legacy? What are you going to leave behind?
That is a question that I have asked over the years. What kind of legacy do I want to leave behind? And it is really, it sort of boggled my mind. It's like, well, what can I do? I mean, can I build a giant skyscraper or a bridge or have my face or something carved into the side of a mountain? And a lot of times the best legacy is that in which, like what you've done through your CDs, through your books, or even just through one-on-one counseling, is to show people that, hey, you have a choice to make. And who knows what transformation that's going to create. And I've often wondered if you've ever been able to track, or if you've ever remembered hearing the name of one of your clients after 10 or 15 years. Suddenly they're in the news in a very positive way. Oh, yeah, I saw that person 5 or 10 or 15 years ago, and they just didn't know which direction that they wanted to go, or they were in that place of indecision. And look at That's my legacy. Their life. And even if they never mention my name, look where they are, because I know.
It's important. I mean, I see a lot of my students that I've been teaching since 1985, now they're professors.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they're directors of social service agencies all over the state of California and beyond. And I think that's really great, because even in the child service agencies, even in the welfare agencies, and in all these different locations where they're doing these types of jobs to help other people, somewhere along the line, I've had an influence over these individuals. So in a way, my teaching has helped them continue to teach and help other people. Isn't this what it's all about?
Yeah.
Is helping other people and helping yourself, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if we're not helping other people in our lives, what we're doing, then I question, what is it we're really doing? Why are we here to begin with? And it is part of that self-awareness and self-motivation that's important. And we talk about the I can, I will approach. That's important to say I can, I will on a consistent daily basis, and to eliminate all of the negatives, you know, even negative people and negative emotions. That's a whole other area. It's very difficult if you have negative emotions, if you have you know, sabotaging kind of attitude, that you're constantly saying, well, yeah, right, you know, this person's saying this, but it's, I can't do it. I mean, I'm never going to be able to do this, or what makes somebody think that I'm going to be able to do it? You know, I had never had the opportunity, I'll never will have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, if you keep thinking like that, you're attracting no opportunity to you. So what do you want to attract to you? You want to attract opportunity. You want to attract positive people. Well, if you want to attract positive people to you, then you better go out and start finding some positive people. You have to start taking some action in your life. You have to start communicating in a positive way. Nobody wants to be around somebody that communicates negatively all the time.
Yeah.
So if you have to have a class, take a class. I mean, look at here. Santa Barbara City College is right down the street. Go to City College. Take a class in continuing or adult education on communication skills. Take a class on leadership. Take a class on management or on supervision. Take a class on anything that you think will help you round out the quality of your life. But it's all here at your disposal, and all you have to do is get out of your house and go over there and sign up and take the classes.
And it doesn't take a lot of money. I mean, my wife and I are taking a class, and it was actually a suggested donation of $10, which we gladly gave. But, you know, it doesn't take that much if you want to get that kind of formal education, because you're not seeing that you're getting educated just in your day-to-day life. I am just really excited about the prospects for the future, for an individual who chooses to again, start making those. You start with small steps. Don't, you know, yes, you can have those great grandiose goals of the mansion on the hill, you know, but if you're only making $10,000 a year, you know, I'm not saying it's not possible, because I know that it is. But that's going to take some time, potentially.
Well, everything's going to take time.
Okay.
Exercising takes time.
Okay. But
right?
You start small. You start with that first step.
Definitely.
And the second and third.
You lift 1 pound, not 100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lift the 1 or 2 pounds, you know, but you do it consistently, Richard. You do it consistently. You don't just do, you know, go into the gym automatically and say, well, here I am. I'm going to build my body and I'm going to become this muscle-bound person. No, you start slowly. You do it, you know, 2 or 3 times a week when you start walking on the treadmill. You start doing it 5 or 10 minutes at a time or 20 minutes at a time. You don't get there and start running all of a sudden on it. You want to start building yourself up. Not just physically, but building yourself up mentally. Because when you build yourself up physically, you start building yourself up mentally and emotionally, and vice versa. So your mental and your physical health is the most important thing that you can concentrate and focus on in your life. Everything else will come mm-hmm. as you start becoming more mentally and physically fit. That's one of my strategies. One of my strategies in my life was to stay physically and mentally fit. Whatever that took, whatever I had to do. I remember about a year ago I had to have some heart surgery, and then I had to rebuild myself up again. So here you go, you know, working out almost every day in the gym, being perfectly healthy, and then having to go through surgery, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, here I am back at the beginning again.
And you're starting over.
I could hardly walk on the treadmill. This is, you know, it could become so frustrating, it become actually so depressing. And so what am I going to do? I have a choice. Do I let that depress me, or do I say, okay, what am I going to need to do to stay positive, to stay optimistic, and to start building myself a step at a time, no matter how long it's going to take? And eventually, with your positive attitude, with the right coaches, with the right nurses, the right doctors, whatever it takes, you will build yourself up physically and mentally again. This is part of life. This is part of growing. This is part of changing. That's the beauty. We can regenerate ourselves. We can continually grow and change as a species.
So many analogies keep coming to my mind as you keep talking. You referred to drawing to you positive versus negative, and it is said that we are electromagnetic beings, that we've got electric current running through our bodies. And so electromagnetic, well, the word magnetic, then that implies, if doesn't state outright, that we are drawing things to us and people and experiences. And that, again, these philosophies and the research continues on, that our minds, our thoughts are the impetus. That's where the seed starts. That's where the initial charge up of the magnet begins to draw those things to us. And so we need to start to change maybe the input through our eyes and our ears as far as TV and or radio and or the newspapers and magazines and whatever other things that and other people that are feeding us the wrong messages, the wrong input that we don't really want. An old computer analogy of garbage in, garbage out. So we go through the process of changing those things, and as you've already stated, starting small.
No, starting a little small. And there was a concept.
But set a goal.
You got to set a goal. And the concept, a long time ago, actually, called the self-fulfilling prophecy, Thomas Merton of Columbia University put it together. And it basically says, our expectations can create our beliefs and our reality. So if you have positive expectations, those expectations can turn into positive beliefs and create a positive reality when you act on those beliefs and those expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just sitting down and waiting for something to happen. It's actually getting out there and doing something to make it happen. That's part of the self-fulfilling prophecy. So if I have a negative self-fulfilling prophecy, I've already convinced myself ahead of time that it's not going to work, or that I am going to fail. But if I have that positive self-fulfilling prophecy, then what I'm going to be able to do is I'm going to create those positive expectations and those positive beliefs, and I'm going to actually create that positive reality through my actions. Not through my inaction, but through my action. So it's important. As you're saying, you want to start setting your goals. You want to set, you know, basic step at a time strategies for accomplishing what you want to accomplish, whatever that happens to be, a day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then reward yourself for your accomplishments, because that's important to continue to keep that cycle moving over and over again of action and reward, action and reward. It's important to reward yourself. It's part of reinforcement. And we all have to be reinforced. That's part of the circle of life.
Mm-hmm. If you are just tuning in, my guest is Dr. Frederick Elias. I Can, I Will is the title of the book, and there is also, I believe it's an accompanying CD, or is that, I don't have
Maximum
it in front of me.
Maximum Impact.
Maximum Impact.
Strategies for Life Fitness. It's four CDs and a documentary, which is interesting because I was actually filming about 3 years ago, and over here at the Santa Barbara Athletic Club, and talking with Julie Main, who's the director. And I had a belief that through exercise, you can overcome certain types of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about it, and I put that into the DVD because it's very important. They have what's called a WellFit program. And individuals that are in remission or have some form of cancer, through the process, they continually exercise, because the belief is that while they're getting stronger, they not only emotionally get stronger, but they're able to go through the chemotherapy and all the treatments in a much more positive way. And part of my belief was that you can overcome some forms of cancer, and you can actually get better through exercise and through nutrition. And that's why I put this as part of the documentary. And the documentary also talks about nutrition and talks about a positive attitude and how important that is as well.
I saw a piece on Good Morning America about a week or so ago. This is a segment they did on a gentleman who has been diagnosed with a form of terminal cancer. And they've given him X number of weeks or months to live. And he has been, up until recently, on a lecture circuit talking with groups and letting them know up front, you know, that I'm going to be dead in a few weeks because, and so I am videotaping all of these, and I'm videotaping other things for my children, and on and on and on. and in preparation for this. And as soon as I saw that story, I thought, this guy's not going to die. Because the process he's going through, the very act of going and talking to these people and leaving these tapes for his children, is such a positive force in his life. Mm-hmm. And I may be wrong, I'm no prophet or anything, but I just feel like that's just going to turn that around, and he's going to live another 10 or 20 or 30 years.
Well, sure, why not? His body chemistry is changing.
Yeah.
I mean, I would eliminate the word, I'm going to die. I think that's a negative, you know, type of phrase to say about yourself. That mm-hmm. kind of, I mean, you've heard about the things where you put certain words on water and it can change the form of water.
I've seen that, yes.
That was on one of the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? It was really interesting. And there was a researcher, the Japanese researcher, that actually showed how certain words or music can affect the crystalline shape of water. Well, if we can change the shape of water, just imagine how we could change ourselves. I mean, we are basically 98% water.
Exactly.
Okay, so if you say I'm in the process of change, I'm in the process or the transition of going through a life change right now, that's a little bit different than saying I'm dying.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not going to like paint the picture rosy where, hi, I'm going to live forever to be 200 years old. No, we're not talking about that.
Right.
That gets kind of into the absurd. But we're talking about, look at the words that you choose, because mm-hmm. the words that you choose affect your mental and emotional state. So what you say to yourself affects your mental and emotional state.
Yeah.
And remember, as you're saying, only you have control over what you want to become and what you want to accomplish. And it's in those moments of decision, that's when you create what you want to become and what you want to accomplish.
You know, I had forgotten that example, and as you bring that up, it's like I'm listening to your CDs in my car and the CDs of other people as well and other types of music, and I absolutely love listening to classical music. And I've heard that that is one of the most positive influences that you can have on your psyche, your body, your mind, your soul, is classical music in particular. That example of changing the crystalline structure, if you will, of water, that process I'm going through and that many other people are going through in their cars as they're traveling around is doing that very same thing. And so again, there's a very simple choice. Even taking this program from the website that will be available when this program is over and listening to it and listening to what you have to say as far as making those choices can start to change. And again, you start small changes. I mean, you build a building with the first brick and the cornerstone, and then you start working around that and going up.
Yeah, and that's the foundation.
Yeah.
All right. So if the foundation is positive self-esteem or positive self-confidence and positive self-worth, then it's going to be a strong building. But if you're not building the structure with positive self-esteem and positive self-worth, then that's with children, and that's with, you know, what parents are going through, wondering, why is my child acting a certain way? Why do certain relationships falter? Why do certain relationships succeed? Well, think about it. What are you putting into it? So what you put into it, you take out of it. What deposits you make in your relationships are the deposits that you're going to be able to withdraw from your relationships. Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing with your children. If you're making a positive deposit with your child, if you're doing positive things for your child, then you're teaching your children in a way that's going to increase their self-esteem and self-confidence, so they're going to be able to take control of what they can take control of in their life and not feel out of control, then you're building a positive child. You're building and creating a positive structure for that child to learn and to teach other children.
Uh-huh. Now, here I am on the freeway, and I'm driving along, and I'm listening to your CD, and another car comes along, alongside, and then cuts me off, no turn signal, and so on. And all of a sudden, I find myself shifting back into that old mindset. And there I am, I'm listening to your tapes, and I've been listening to them for weeks, and it seems like it's so easy to get thrown back into that old thought process.
Oh, how we can get so angry when we think we're so peaceful, for example.
Yeah. How do we begin that process of changing and training ourselves not to revert back to those old mental processes. Again, it is a process of learning that. But what do we do? I mean, just keep listening to the tapes over and over and over again, and eventually...
Well, actually, yeah. You have to keep listening to things over and over again. But I think we have to accept our limitations.
Okay.
Okay, and once we accept our limitations, we can realize then we have choices and we can change what is changeable and continue on. When that happens for me, for example, when I'm cut off, I automatically back off the pedal, mm-hmm. right off the accelerator. And now I have a choice. Do I get reactive about the situation, or do I try to remain proactive about the situation? Does that person really affect me? Does that person really need to affect me? Do I really need to let that person affect me? Or can I, you know, just keep my own equanimity and my own calmness and my own peace within me and realize that some people just have a need to do what they have to do and that doesn't really affect me.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we have to constantly get into that aggressive, you know, state? We don't have to. No one's told us we have to become aggressive. No one's told us that we have to change and go back to that other way of responding to the situation, that old pattern or that old tape that constantly keeps playing back and forth. Well, it's just an awareness that that's still there. That's still part of who we are. And that means we're still alive. We have that ability to change that particular part of ourselves every time that happens. That is another opportunity for change. Someone just wrote to me something. He said, you know, it's not so much the pursuit of happiness, it's the happiness of pursuit. And I really like that because when you're looking at pursuing things in a positive way, it creates happiness.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a class at Harvard University that's constantly filled and overfilled, and it's called happiness. Well, why are people going to classes called happiness? People want to be happy. They're searching for happiness. People are tired of being lonely. They're tired of being alone. They're tired of getting into dead-end relationships or dead-end careers or situations, and they're just becoming tired of it, and they don't want it anymore. They want something that's going to create a lot of happiness and joy in their life, and why not? We deserve that. So when we realize and we program ourselves and say, you know, I really deserve happiness. I deserve joy. I deserve a positive relationship. I deserve to be loved because I'm a loving individual. I'm a loving person. Then you're going to attract that to you, and you're going to look for those types of situations rather than situations that constantly bring you down. It's your choice.
And that, in turn, puts you out there, and then you start putting more of that out there, helping other people, giving, however you want to phrase that, tithing, whether it's money or your time or your goods and services, what have you, to support and help other people. And then that process, if everybody's doing that, I mean, what a wonderful world. And it really would be if we could get to that point. And there are people who are actually, I've been reading about people who are actually trying to create communities like that, where they're all working on their own stuff and trying to move forward and make those choices and changes and creating communities that are supportive and are interdependent, which is a whole different thing from being dependent on one another.
Well, you're doing it just by having this show, this radio show. You're trying to create a community of support for understanding the human potential that we have within us and to foster and to facilitate and collaborate together to create more human potential. And I think that's a very important move on your part, and I applaud you for that. And I think that you have to keep on going and keep finding people that are going to support this particular, you know, endeavor that you've started on, and to continue to look at the positive way that we can affect society, the positive way that we can affect leadership, and the positive way that we can affect other people on this planet. And, man, I'll tell you, it's time.
Yeah,
it's been long enough.
I mean, I've only lived a short little 47 years on the planet, but it's one of those things where I've made these choices and these changes in my life that have brought into my life the people that I am truly enjoying having in my life, experiences that I never thought I would have. I mean, I think at one point in my life I had settled, and you talked about that from the very beginning, that people, that's what they do, they settle for. It's just the way it is. They settle for the status quo. They settle for what the bill of goods that they have been given, and they shouldn't expect any more because that's all there is. You don't get any more. They move along, now the next person, and they get their allotment, move along. And it isn't an allotment. You have to think in terms of there's more than enough. Infinity. An abundance of infinity of whatever it is that you want. And happiness is, as you've said, people are that's what they want, is happiness. Not necessarily all those things, but all those things could follow. Because if you find that happiness, then, hey, the sky's the limit. Is that, that's really what it comes down to. When you say, I can, I will. If you've just joined us, my guest is Dr. Frederick Elias, and he is the author of I Can, I Will. It is Dynamics for Personal Success. That's the title of the book, and you can go to the website, icaniwill.com. You can also go to my website, richarddugan.com. This interview will be available in a few hours or so, and you'll be able to download the interview and listen to it, as well as other interviews of previous programs. We'd love to have you on the check that out. Now, in coming weeks, we're going to have a wide variety of different guests, but I'm only going to tell you about our next guest next week, Ramona Richards. She is a face analysist, if you will. She does face analysis. She takes a look at the structures of the face and kind of gives you an idea of who you are and so forth, so that you can better understand your personality. So hope you'll join us next week. And we are hoping maybe in the near future, Dr. Elias, that we'll have you back to talk further about this. Have you any special events or gatherings that you're going to be holding in the near future that people might get in touch with you on, or are you holding individual counseling that people could touch base
actually,
with
you? Actually, I'm working on a success and motivation seminar speaking engagement that will be in the Los Angeles area,
okay.
But that won't be happening for another 4 to 6 months. But
okay.
It's going to be a very big event. Yeah.
Well, we want to stay in touch with you on
definitely.
That and let people know about that's coming. In terms of your process, I can, I will. Are there specific steps 1, 2, 3 that you recommend? Obviously, we've already referred to the basic one is the choice. But sort of summarize in that respect the various steps that there are.
Yeah. Well, a very important step would be eliminating negative self-talk. That would be one step, and substituting it for a positive self-talk. Think about what you're saying to yourself and really be conscious of what you're saying to yourself and change that. Change it to be more proactive rather than reactive. That's a very important step in the process. And the other steps that I would suggest would be to set goals. Set simple, smart, realistic goals. And accomplish at least one goal every day. I know it doesn't sound like a whole, great deal of goals, but if you accomplish one goal every day for 360 days a year, you've accomplished 360 goals for that particular year. I also suggest that you create your own mission statement, that you know what your real mission is. And it has to only be about 3 sentences to just find out what are your core values and your core beliefs in your life. What's really important to you? Is education important to you? Is living a healthy life important to you? Is helping others important to you? And try to put your mission together, in about 3 sentences, and look at your mission statement and focus on your mission. And also use positive affirmations. That's very important too. I didn't think they really worked, but I started using them, and they really started working. It started me focusing on a more positive way of looking at situations and attracting more positive outcomes, and I think that's very important. Really look at changing your situation. Don't allow the same 4 walls to dominate your life. Accept what your reality is and realize you have alternatives. If there are certain things that you need to do, for example, if you have to pay bills and you need more work, then get another job if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
But accept what the reality is and let go of negativity, negative emotions, negative people, and become more proactive. It's not going to do you any good hanging around negative people and using negative emotions in your life, because it just takes your energy away. And the final thing I would say is manage your lifestyle and master your communication. It's really important to change your image. Create a positive self-image and positive communication skills. That is going to help you in everything that you do, both personally and professionally. So if you can follow this simple, well, it's not so simple, but this, I would say, prescription, that's going to head you into that I can, I will direction. And it's going to help you take real action in your life so you know what you want to achieve, and when you're going to achieve it by, because you need to have a time and a date for when you want to achieve what you're going to accomplish.
And make that realistic.
Make it very realistic, yeah.
Okay. I want to go back to the mission statement because it really ties into your life's purpose kind of thing. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah.
That's a tough one for some people because they've been kind of just kind of floating along in that negativity for so long, they may not know what their life purpose is or what their mission is here.
Well, you have to ask yourself, okay, what one positive thing do you want out of life? What are the two or three positive things you want out of life for yourself? And maybe what do you want for others? So start off in that way, writing it down in that way. And then, you know, start putting the dots together. Start connecting the dots. You know, start making sentences. You know, what would that be? Would that be creating a quality life for myself? Or do I want quality relationships for myself and for those that I come into contact with? Do I want to educate myself and educate others? Is lifelong education and learning a priority for you? And then start putting that together in a mission statement for yourself. But you have to know what your core beliefs are and what your core values. Do you value honesty? Do you value integrity? You know, what are some of the beliefs do you have? Mm-hmm. Are they positive beliefs or are they negative beliefs? If they're negative beliefs, well, guess what? You got to start erasing them. Pay attention to what they are and start eliminating those negative beliefs and replace them with more positive beliefs. And you might be saying, well, that's easy for you to say. Well, yeah, it's easy for me to say because I'm on the microphone and you're not. but what we're talking about here is why not? What are you afraid of?
Yeah.
You know, is this fear? Do you have some fear that you can't change or you've tried it once and it didn't work out? Oh my God. Well, no. Look at the changes, you know, try it again, do it over again and again and again until you get it right. I mean, that's the beauty of the process of learning. That's what learning's all about. We don't always, you know, get A's on all of our tests all the time. You know, so you get a B, so you get a C, so you learn something. That's what I say to my students. You're learning something. A is not the most important thing in your life. You're learning something. What have you learned in your life? What do you want to make note of and write down? I would do it right now. I would get a piece of paper. If you're listening to me right now, I would get a piece of paper and I would start writing down what's really important to you. What are your goals? List your goals. List three goals. And I'm going to challenge you right now to accomplish those goals. How are you going to accomplish those goals? Break them up into small parts. Okay? If your goal is to go to the beach and walk a mile, get into your car or take a walk and go to the beach and walk that mile. Walk back and forth on that beach if you want. Stop once in a while and listen to the sounds of the ocean, sounds of the birds. Just watch the sunset if you want. That's one goal that you can have. Make your goal something fun. It doesn't have to be drudgery like, I have to clean my house today. That's you know, do that later. Go out and do something fun and come back and do a little bit of cleaning.
You'd probably be energized when you come back.
You'd be a lot more energized. Yeah. You know, spend an hour or two at the gym. What else? Take an apple halfway through. You know, these are some of the things that you can do for yourself. Have some fun with yourself and with your life. These goals can be fun. They don't have to be restrictive. They don't have to be goals like, I want to make $10 million in the next year. Don't do something that's unrealistic. You know, try to create your goal where you're saying, I'm going to make $10,000 this next year, and I'm going to use $5,000 of that $10,000 to go to a trip, and I'm going to Maui, or I'm going to a beautiful island someplace for 2 or 3 weeks and enjoy myself. Do something for yourself, and you'll do it again and again and again, and you'll find goal setting can be a really inspirational and a very enjoyable process. And so I'm challenging you right now to get outside, do something for yourself, do something with your kids, do something with your husband or your significant other, and have fun.
I could say more, but I'm not going to. That is very well said, and I do want to thank you so much for joining us on the program.
You're most welcome.
My guest today has been Dr. Frederick Elias, and he is a PhD. He's got a book out. It's called I Can, I Will, and yes, you can, and I think you will. It's up to you. You have to make the choice. Dynamics for Personal Success is the subtitle, and we encourage you, if you're interested in making a change and making a difference in your life, and interestingly enough, it will then spill over into the lives of others. It can't help but do so, because you're going to be out in the population, and you're going to be affecting the other electromagnetic beings in the world and having an impact. And we hope that you will do just that. Next week, we're going to have a face analysis talking about and taking a look at the various characteristics of the human face and what it says about personality. And we'll be talking with Ramona Richards from Phoenix, Arizona, and we'll be discussing those particular areas. We certainly hope that you will join us. My guest's website, and that is Dr. Frederick Elias' website, is icaniwill.com. You can also get to his website through richarddugan.com. That's my website, richarddugan.com. Where you can also hear this interview and other interviews that we've done. And you can also email me, Richard at RichardDugan.com. That's Richard at RichardDugan.com. Love to hear from you and what you think of the program. And I hope that you will tune in again at the same time next week, 11 a.m. every Saturday morning for Tell Me Your Story. It's a program designed to give you choices and give you knowledge of those choices so that you can move forward. Take the potential that's in your life and move it forward. I have to tell you how excited I am to be here and to be bringing these guests to you. It's not me, it's them, but we just provide that window or that speaker, if you will. So I hope you'll join us again next week and every week for Tell Me Your Story. Until next Saturday at the same time, have yourselves a great day. Bye-bye.
Progressive Talk Radio. KIST Santa Barbara, Talk Radio 1340.